In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Thank you for joining us this morning for another broadcast of the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Ken. I'm the pastor of Brookside, and happy to have Jack Gardner, our producer for the Word for Life, with me. So, Jack, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here on this beautiful day, and trust our time together will be encouraging and edifying as we continue our study in the life of Joshua. Let me remind you, this Sunday at Brookside, John and Jamie Zimmer, our missionaries to Palau, are going to be with us, and so they're going to be with us the entire day, and we'd love to have them with us, and I know they'll be a great blessing. If you don't have a church family, we'd love to have you come over and visit with us at Brookside. Well, Jack, we're in Joshua. We're moving a little slow, but we're going to get to verse 10 and kind of try to work our way down to when the spies go into Jericho there and the whole incident that takes place with Rahab and her protection of the spies. But we're still looking at Joshua as this leader. He was Moses' understudy. He has now been placed in the position by God. Moses, in front of the people, basically said God has ordained Joshua to take the lead. And it's hard to fill the shoes of someone like Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember in our past broadcast, one thing we've said is when a great man of God or woman of God dies, it doesn't mean God dies.
Mm-hmm.
God is continuing on, and he's continuing on with Joshua, and Joshua is the leader.
He's passing the baton.
Yeah, he is passing the baton. Someone once said that if you believe that you're a good leader and you turn around to see who else is following you, and you're all by yourself, they said you're merely on a walk. And Joshua has 1.5 million, following him, because people, Jack, really want leaders to be bold and courageous, but not lacking in principle and faith. You know, godly leaders who are bold and courageous, it doesn't mean they're necessarily brash and harsh and condescending.
Right.
But rather, they're willing to do whatever is necessary in accordance with the principles of God's word to accomplish the mission of God, even if some of those decisions might be unpopular with the people. And obviously, Moses had some of those decisions that God had laid out that were unpopular with the people, but he continued to lead, and he had great love for him. He interceded for them in their behalf to God numerous times.
And that's where the great strength comes in, knowing they're going to not like it and doing it anyway.
Yeah. You know, he's a great leader. He was God's leader, but he was a leader that led by faith. He isn't, again, directly mentioned in the great faith chapter in Hebrews 11, but he was the one that was leading them, and we're told about those that had faith to see the walls of Jericho broken down. And so he's inferred there in that because he was a great man of faith. And leading by faith is living in a hope that is so real it gives you absolute certainty and assurance. And God kept reaffirming that he is with Joshua. And God tells us, Jack, over and over throughout his word that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. And so for me to be praying, God be with me today, I mean, that's really not a correct prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He's already promised you. I should be more focused on God, please make me mindful today that you are present with me.
You know, I've caught myself saying that a few times, and it's like I immediately get corrected in the same way that you just said, like, well, hold on a second. No, because I am with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens a lot of times, I think we get into a routine of praying and we kind of follow the same script. That's why I always say I love being around new Christians because they don't have any script. They just talk to God. But we'll get in, well, Lord, be with me today, be with my family. No. He's promised as a believer that he's with you. He'll never leave you and he'll not forsake you. So I need to be living my life for the audience of one, being God is the one I'm living my life for. And that's what Joshua was doing. He based his life really on the promises of God. And true faith is really an absolute certainty, often of things that the world would consider unreal and actually impossible. But God is in control and he does the impossible. You know, we're told with God, all things are possible.
And you can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens you.
Yeah, exactly. And this Christian hope is belief in God that it's against the world. It's not belief in the improbable against chance. Joshua lived his belief. And I think, Jack, our lives must be lived by faith. The writer of Hebrews said it so well in verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God, because that verse is coming on the heels of the example of Enoch, a man who at 65 had Methuselah, and the Bible says he walked with God. But there in Hebrews, it says that his testimony was such that he pleased God. Mm-hmm. And then verse 6 comes right there, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it tells us that Enoch and all of those in chapter 11 of Hebrews pleased God because they had a life of faith, because faith leads to action. Why don't we look at verses 10 and 11 here in chapter 1. And Jack, if you want to read that for us, because now the action is going to occur because Joshua is going to give them a command.
Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, 'Prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you'll cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess.'"
You know, it's the first of five actions here, Jack, which Joshua performs after his initial instruction from the Lord. And remember, verse 10 is followed by verse 9, which says, "Have not I commanded you?" He's talking to Joshua here. "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And so this is the first action after the instructions that he received from the Lord. It is the only one in which Joshua ordered the people, like the words "cross over," meaning faith now has become an action. Many people think that faith is just something you believe. Faith is more than just some mental assent. I mean, the Bible says the devils even believe in God and they tremble. It's not that, you know, I just believe in God with my mind. It's more than just knowing, but it's an action. When I transfer my trust from myself to Jesus Christ, that's the moment of salvation, the justification by faith. That takes place. Hmm. I can believe a plane will fly, but it doesn't mean anything until I actually get on board. And until I take that step of faith and get on board, it means nothing. People say, "Well, I believe in Jesus," but faith means that you're going to commit yourself to trusting in his son, Christ Jesus, who paid the penalty for our sin, and trusting in him alone, not Jesus plus, you know, my church attendance, my denomination, or even my baptism. Mm-hmm. No, it is simply Jesus plus nothing equals everything.
The saving work of Jesus.
Maybe there are some listening today that you need to take that step of faith to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, recognizing your sinful condition, that you can never, ever pay for your sin. And if you try, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That word death means not annihilation, it means separation from God forever. And there's only two places, heaven or hell. Unfortunately, there has been a deceptive line given to people today that, well, you can be in a holding tank and you can be prayed out of that to heaven. Bible never, ever talks of that. And so I trust today, and if you have questions, you feel free to call us here at Brookside Baptist Church. We would love to help you know for sure that you have begun a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said it, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me." Well, anyway, so we get back to Joshua, and he gives the orders for the journey, and they were very specific. People, you need to get everything ready. I don't know how it is for you, Jack, when you're getting ready to go on a trip. Are you one of those that really has to plan where every piece of luggage is going and the car needs, you know, for me, I'd have to make sure the car was clean, even though Kathy would just put all the stuff at her feet, you know, and I'm like,
just make do.
Yeah, make do.
But yeah, you're pretty well organized.
Well, I don't know if I'd say pretty well, but I kind of have a plan,
yeah.
You know, that here's what I want. And Joshua has a specific plan. He goes, "Hey, we need food for this journey." Similar to the first crossing, when they crossed the Red Sea, remember, they were to, before they left Egypt, after that 10th plague, they were have already to have asked the Egyptians for clothing, for some funds. And then they also had, were told, you know, to have the bread and, you know, the unleavened bread and to have it ready to take with you and have your sandals on even as you're taking part of the Passover meal. Because, man, when the firstborn died, animal or child or adult, whatever, I mean, Pharaoh couldn't get them out of there quick enough. So the similar scenario here, he wants them to be able to take the food with them, just as they did there in Egypt. It was a little different from the first crossing of the Red Sea, because the reason they're getting ready, he's moving them out, is they're going to cross the Jordan River, and that's going to be miraculous because that was at flood stage at the time. The word supplies here serves to point out the distinction from that first crossing. The first being crossing the Red Sea, the second being crossing the Jordan River. The second crossing was not done in haste, for the people are preparing to do battle. The second crossing would be done with sufficient preparation. Proverbs 20:18 states, plans are established by counsel, by wise counsel wage war. You know, in other words, don't just charge into battle.
Right.
Joshua needed to prepare the people and to set up the plan. Jesus even taught, for which one of you intending to build a tower does not sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it. You know, there's nothing more embarrassing than when you set out to do something and you get halfway through and you can't finish it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for believers today, that would be, you know, if a church was wanting to build, but they didn't, you know, they thought they had enough money, but they didn't have enough money, then it's going to be an embarrassment really to the cause of Christ. Mm-hmm. So Joshua is going to instruct these officers, you go through the camp and get the people ready to break camp. And they've been camped at Moab for some time. They had broken camp many times before, but this time it's going to be vastly different. They were not just breaking camp only to wander further into the wilderness seemingly without end. That's over with now. This time they were breaking camp with the goal of finally entering the land that had been promised by God many years ago. And so the time of departure was set here. 3 days, Joshua says. You have 3 days. Some believe that the 3 days was in order to do some reconnaissance work to explore the city of Jericho. But whatever, Joshua planned it out. And he reminds them, we're going into the promised land. That's what the focus was. And I think, Jack, as we conclude today, the focus really needs to be that we're planning, we're living for the next life right now. We're living for the hereafter. We're living for heaven, even though we're here. And it makes a difference in our focus and our preparation, just as it's going to be for the Israelites under the leadership of Joshua. We're going now to go in and possess the land that God has promised. And I think one of the greatest promises, Jack, we have, Jesus claimed, and he said it so well, in John 6:47, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes in me has everlasting life. Mm. And may we live as though we believe we have everlasting life one day with our eternal God in heaven. Thank you so much for joining us, and trust that you have a great day, and may the Lord bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.